And out of their fear, the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. And we talked about how according to the law, Exodus chapter 23 in particular, what these men of Jabesh said they would do was in violation of the word of God. But oftentimes our emotions get the best of us and we do things in our emotions or because of our emotions that are not good. I believe their emotion was fear, and fear can cause you to do some stuff you ought not do. But all kind of emotions we have as human beings, and if you're not careful, your emotions can get the best of you. For example, and we're going to talk about this in detail later on tonight, but anger is an emotion. And as we'll see later on, anger is not necessarily a bad thing. But if you're not careful, you can become so overwhelmed with anger that you act in a way that is clearly in violation of the Word of God. You can go too far with your anger. So you have to watch out about your emotions. They can get the best of you, and I think it's what happened here with them. Their emotions, their fear just got the best of them. But if you remember, Nahash said, I'll make a covenant under one condition if you let me put out all of your right eyes. Verse 3, they said, well, give us 7 days, and then after 7 days we can't find anybody to help us, then okay, we'll come out and you do what you want. So they sent some messengers to Gibeah of Saul. That's the home of Saul, who, as you know, is the king or has been chosen to be the king. And these messengers told the tidings in the ears of the people, and it says all the people lifted up their voices and wept. They're weeping for the predicament, the circumstance that their brethren are in. And just spent some time talking the other night about the need for us to be more compassionate, to have a greater depth of compassion for people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ that are going through adversity or going through a trial or tribulation of any kind. We'll pick up now in verse number 5, and notice it says, and behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field. There's probably going to be a herd of goats, I would imagine. But notice Saul is out in the field with the herd. Now, we saw from the previous chapter that he was presented to the people by Samuel at Mizpah to be their first king. But obviously, things haven't transpired to where he has taken that authority, because once he was presented to the people and the people, for the most part, were satisfied with God's choice, it says in the previous chapter that they all went home. All the people went home. Saul went home. And it seems to me like when he goes back home, he just kind of picks up with business as usual. He's not really acting like a king, you might say, because he's out in the field with the herd. And that's really not a job that a king's going to do most of the time. You know, once a person's a king, they're going to let somebody else do that kind of stuff. But he's went back home, and he's just back out there in the field working. And he comes in, and it says that he said, what aileth the people that they weep? He's hearing all this weeping, because in the previous verse it says the people lifted up their voices and wept. So they're crying, and they're not just crying, they're weeping. And when you weep, that's really show enough crying when you weeping. And they're doing it loudly because they lifted up their voices. Well, Saul hears all this, and he's like, what's wrong? What's everybody crying about? And it says they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. So they tell him what the men of Jabesh said about Nahash and what he's wanting to do. Well, now look at verse 6, and this is important verse here. The Bible says, and the Spirit of God, y'all see that? The Spirit of God, capital S. So who's that talking about? It's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? We're not talking about some foul, unclean spirit here. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says here that the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings. So at the moment he hears that, the Spirit of God comes upon him. And what is the result? The Bible says his anger was kindled greatly. You know what that means? That doesn't mean he just got mad. That means he got really mad. Because it says his anger was kindled greatly. That means he had a large amount of anger. He's really mad. He's really upset by what he hears. But the thing you want to notice is who produced that anger in him. Who stirred him to this level of anger in his life at this time, according to the verse you just read? Who did that? The Holy Spirit did that. The Spirit of God came upon the man. And when the Holy Spirit of God came upon him, the result was he became angry. And not just angry a little, but he became really angry. Very angry at what he's heard from these men of Jabesh. Absolutely. Because you see multitudes of times in the Old Testament especially where it says the anger of the Lord, the anger of the Lord, which that in and of itself ought to show any and all of us that anger in and of itself is not wrong. Because if getting angry, just getting mad is a sin or wrong, then guess what that means? That means God has sinned, right? Y'all following what I'm saying? Because God got angry all the time. Matter of fact, the Bible says this. The Bible says, just read it the other day, that God is angry with the wicked every day. That's what the Bible says. So how often does God get angry? Every day. He's mad every day. Now, a lot of folks wouldn't tell you that because they feel like they got to apologize for God. You know, they don't want people to have some bad image or bad view of God. And to present God as somebody that gets angry and stays angry, well, they think that presents him in a negative light toward people. So let's don't do that. By all means, let's don't do that because we don't want to ever have anybody think negatively of the Lord. But it's like I've told you before, it's not up to me and you to defend God and apologize for how he behaves himself. He's God, folks. He can behave ever how he wants to. And he doesn't need me or you or anybody else to apologize for him. And the Bible clearly teaches that God gets angry, and he's angry every day with the wicked, every day. So anger can't be a sin. If anger is sinful, just being angry is sinful, then God's a sinner because he's mad every day. And this is an important thing to understand because that same idea about God trickles down into his people. And folk think, well, if a Christian ever gets mad, if a Christian ever gets really angry, then they're just not displaying the sweet spirit of Jesus. You know, years ago, what would Jesus do? Y'all remember the little bracelets? Well, 99.9% of the people that wore those little bracelets don't even know what Jesus would do, okay? Because if you're going to know what Jesus would do, you got to read the Bible to find out what Jesus would do. And most people don't read a thimbleful of the Bible in a year's time, so they don't really know what Jesus would do about things. But I'm going to show you in just a minute one thing Jesus would do, and you know what that is? He'd get mad. That's what Jesus would do, okay? So let's just look at this for a moment. I feel like it's important that we spend some time talking about it because of this horrible misconception that people have today. Turn first of all to the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 3. First you have the fact that the Bible talks repeatedly about the anger of the Lord. So that right there ought to let you know that anger is not sinful. You have right here where the Spirit of God, now think about this. God is a Trinity, right? Or just one God. But he manifests himself three ways. As a Father, as a Son, and as a Spirit, right? when it talks in the Old Testament about the anger of the Lord, that's the Father. That's Jehovah God, the Father. So the Father got mad all the time. We just saw, I just told you, he's mad every day with the wicked. That's the Father. All right? Right here in 1 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 6, the Spirit of God comes upon a man, and he gets angry. So you got the Father that gets mad. The Holy Spirit produces anger on occasions when he comes on people. What about the Son? What about the Lord Jesus Christ? Mark chapter 3. What would Jesus do? I can just tell you, folks, we live in a weird world today. And people's ideas and concepts about God, about the Lord Jesus Christ, are as far off base as they have ever been, probably further off than they've ever been. And we have, through this milquetoast, limp-wristed, pathetic, feministic preaching and teaching that's going on nowadays, we have created a God and presented a God to the church and to the world that is not the God of the Bible, okay? And what we need to do as a church and as individuals is get back to the Bible and quit apologizing for God and present the truth to people about who the Lord really is and how the Lord really behaves himself. Amen. I get sick and tired of it. This world now that anyway, Mark chapter 3. Want God to... All right. I'm about to get angry. Mark chapter 3, verse number 1. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. Let's talk about the Lord. He enters into the synagogue. There's a fellow there, his hand's messed up. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, and that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And look at verse 5 now. And when he had looked round about on them with what? Anger. Why was he angry? Why did the Lord get mad there? It says, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts. You know one thing makes the Lord angry? When people are hard-hearted and don't have compassion on others. Because you got a situation here where there's a fellow that's got a withered hand. His hand's all messed up, and the Lord's wanting to heal him and make him better. Well, these people here are just hard-hearted. They don't care about that man and his situation. And that grieved the Lord to the point that he got angry about it. I wonder how he feels about us sometimes, and the lack of compassion and love and care that we have toward others. We're so concerned sometimes with being absolutely straight on everything that we believe that we miss the compassion that we need to have for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ getting angry. Now let me show you something that I think is significant. Go back to Matthew's gospel just a moment. Matthew chapter 5. I don't think anybody in here reads an NIV. I hope you don't. Good gracious. I've showed you many times before all the corruptness that's in these new translations of the Bible today. We've went through it time and time again. All the ways that they take things out and put things in and change stuff and get it to where it doesn't even match up with the Scripture. But Matthew chapter 5, verse number 22. Matthew 5:22. And this is the thing that I have heard repeatedly down through the years. And me and some of the men were talking about it not long ago. An argument that you hear from people who don't believe the Word of God, verbatim, literally, word for word, is they'll say something along the lines, well, the Lord has maintained his doctrines, and you can find any of the major doctrines and fundamentals in any translation of the Bible you read. And they say that to justify correcting God. They say that to justify making all these changes in what God says here. And they say it doesn't matter if you take this word out and you change this word, because you can still find the doctrine in there. Well, like we were talking, one thing, God never promised to preserve doctrine. What he did promise in Psalm 12 is to preserve his words. You hear that? But the thing is, when you preserve the words, guess what else you preserve? The doctrine, right? Because where do you find the doctrine? It's in the words that are found in the Bible. And that's what God promised to preserve, his words. I believe every word in this Bible. Every word of it is just exactly like God wants us to have it. And I don't think he needs me or you or anybody else in this world to help him out with that, okay? I'm just crazy enough to believe God's smart enough to say what he means and mean what he says. Okay, I believe that. Now, the reason I said all that is because in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus is talking. And look at this now. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now Jesus said if you're angry with your brother without a cause, that is, if you don't have a legitimate, real cause, a righteous cause, in other words, not just any cause. Obviously, it's not right to get angry with somebody over something that is wrong, okay? But what he says is, whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of what? The judgment. In the New International Version, I'll give you one guess as to what three words they take out of that. What three words are missing out of that verse right there? That's exactly right. If you read it, and you do that, by the way. Don't just take what I say. If you got some of that slop laying around somewhere, pick it up and read it for yourself. You know what it says? Whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. But if you listen to people that are educated and are smart, they'll tell you that it doesn't matter if you take out some words. Don't you think taking those three words out matters a little bit? Because if you take the words without a cause out, then what you have is this teaching right here. If you get angry with your brother ever for any reason, then you are in danger of the judgment of God, right? Didn't we just see in Mark chapter 3 where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ got mad with some people? Let me ask you this. Did he have a cause for his anger, though? Did he have a righteous cause for his anger? So he's not in danger of any judgment. He didn't do anything wrong, right? The only way you can be in danger of judgment is to do wrong. You understand that? If you do wrong, then you're in danger of the judgment of God. So according to the New International Version, the Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, would be in danger of the judgment of God because he got angry with people. Do y'all understand that? I'm not asking if you agree with it, because that's up to you whether you agree with it or not. You're entitled to be wrong if you want to. Amen. Turn to the book of Ephesians now. I look, folks, y'all know me by now. That old song came out years ago as a secular song. If you don't know me by now, you never, never will. If y'all don't know me by now, you never will. I believe the Word of God. I believe it more now than I ever have. And I don't care what any preacher in this county, I don't care what any member of this church or any member in any other church thinks about me. I believe the Bible. I'm going to stand for the Bible, and I'm not going to apologize for what I believe. And not only am I going to stand for it, but I'm going to try to show you the truth. Now, what you do with it when I show it to you, I have no control over that, okay? But it is my job to give you the truth. Look here at Ephesians chapter 4. Just in case you still have any question about this, Ephesians chapter 4. Before we read this verse, let me ask you this. When the Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, went into the temple and was displeased with what he saw going on there and made him a scourge of cords and used that whip to drive all those people and all those animals out, and not only did he drive them all out, but the Bible says that he went through there and he flipped over all of the tables and spilled out the money all over. Reckon what emotion he was feeling at that time. Reckon he was just full of joy about that situation? No. No. He was upset. So upset that he took a whip and drove people out and flipped over the tables that they were sitting at. Now, I'm telling you, modern-day Christianity, y'all follow me? Modern-day Christianity, if a Christian acted like that, he'd be condemned, you know. He's not acting like the Lord, you know. He's not acting like God at all. Now, what they want now is this feministic, sodomite-acting Christian is what they want. Now, it's just the truth. That's the society we live in now. They want to emasculate every man that is in this world here today. Just strip us of our manhood and make us... I was a male before I got saved, and I don't find anywhere in this Bible where God expects me to be anything other than what he made me. Amen? You a man in here? You a man? Stay a man, okay? Stay a man. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 26. Ephesians 4, 26. The first three words in that verse are a command. They're not a suggestion. They are a command. What does the Bible tell you to do right there? Be ye angry. But now it's quick to qualify. It says, and sin not. And that right there ought to show it to you, though. He doesn't say if you're angry, you sin. He says you be angry, but don't sin when you're angry. You got that? That clearly shows you that anger is not a sin. But what it teaches is that if you're not careful, and that's what I mentioned when I got started a while ago, if you're not careful, you can let that God-given emotion. Anger is a God-given emotion, just like love or joy or any other emotion that we have as people. The Lord created us with those emotions. So it's not wrong to be angry. Matter of fact, according to what I read right here, listen to me now, there are times where the sin is to not be angry. You got that? So it's not that if you get angry, you sin. Sometimes you are sinning against God by not getting angry. There are things that go on and transpire in this world that ought to make a Christian mad. I mean, really, folks, there's some stuff that's going on in this world today. Hey, if God's mad about it, then guess who else ought to be mad about it? His people ought to be mad about it. We ought to be upset about some of this stuff that's going on. God is. He's mad about a lot of this stuff that's going on. And you and I are not right when we just have this passive, non-aggressive attitude that people want us to have. And, you know, be ye angry and sin not. The thing is, you have to make sure you don't go too far with your anger. You have to make sure that you don't cross over to where you are sinning, because you can do that. How do you sin with your anger? Be ye angry and sin not. How do you know that it's a sin? Well, here's what you need to ask yourself. Number one, what am I angry about? Okay. As I said, there are things you should be angry about, but there's some stuff you ought not get angry about. I get angry sometimes, and I can tell you, God knows it ain't no need in hiding it. It ain't a righteous indignation at all. I'm mad about something I ain't got no business being mad about. Last Saturday evening, I sat there in my house and watched Auburn play football, and I wanted to throw the remote through the television, okay? I was mad. It wasn't no righteous anger, I can tell you that. I had to ask the Lord to forgive me for that. I mean, really, that's the truth. Have you ever gotten mad about something you shouldn't have got mad about? Yeah, you probably did today sometime or the other. So you ask yourself, what am I angry about? Obviously, if you're angry about something you shouldn't be angry about, that's wrong. You have sinned with your anger then. So you ask yourself, what am I angry about? How do you know when you're sinning with your anger? What are you doing when you're angry? See, what am I angry about, number one? Make sure you're angry about something that you should be angry about. And then number two, how are you handling yourself while you're angry? Okay, I may get angry with you about something you do that you shouldn't do, but that does not justify me to walk up and belt you in the mouth, okay? I might want to. But that, I think, wouldn't y'all agree, might be crossing the line a little bit there? Now, I'm going to tell you just how crazy I am. I think there are certain times it'd be perfectly all right with the Lord if you knock somebody's teeth out. I do. Like if you're trying to hurt my wife. If I'm wrong for defending my wife, I'm just going to have to meet God with that. If I can pick something up, I'm going to try to crack your head open, okay? I'm serious. You in here, men, don't you think you ought to stand up for your wife? That's right. You ought to protect your children, protect your spouse, okay? What I'm saying is just, you know, getting mad with somebody, getting in the flesh and wanting to fight and all that, well, obviously you don't went too far. There's a lot of different ways that you can sin with your anger, but the thing that you want to look at here, look at what he says now, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I tell you another way that you know you've sinned with your anger, just based on the way that verse ends, when you stay angry for too long. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That means if you get angry about something, before the sun goes down, you need to get that thing resolved. Understand? That's like if you and your wife have a blowout. You don't need to go to bed with one of you sleeping on the couch and one of you sleeping in the bed. Amen. Get it right before you go to bed. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Deal with it. But anyway, the main thing, verse 26 says, be ye angry. All right, let's go back to 1 Samuel. We may stop here for the sake of time, but just please understand, contrary to what some people say and some people teach, that the emotion of anger is not wrong. It's not sinful. It's an emotion that God feels. The whole Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, gets mad about stuff. You're commanded in the Bible to be angry about certain things. You just have to be careful that you don't sin with your anger. Any questions about what we talked about this evening? Yeah, it sure does. Absolutely. But now don't go out and just start pitching temper tantrums and say that Brother Keith said it was all right to do that, okay? If you bust your finger with a hammer tomorrow and cuss like a... Don't blame that on me, all right?